where you go, I'll go too. I'm with you. I'm with you. Until your heart finds a home, I won't let you feel alone. I'm with you.
I'm with you.
I'm with you. With you.
Over the past few weeks, we've been spending time in the middle of a beautiful story from the Old Testament, and we've titled this series, Redeeming Ruth. This takes place in the book of Ruth, and we meet a man named Elimelech, who lives in Bethlehem. However, there is a famine in Bethlehem, and he decides to uproot his wife and his two sons, Chilion and Mahlon, and take them around the northern edge of the Dead Sea into the land of Moab. He leaves his people, he leaves the promised land of God, and some say maybe even leaving his faith in God and trusting in what he might find in this land of Moab. We talked about who the Moabites are. They're actually relatives of the Israelites. They are descendants of Abraham's nephew Lot through an incestuous relationship with his oldest daughter. The Moabites also became adversaries of Israel before they entered the Promised Land. They offered them no food or water and actually hired a prophet named Balaam to come and curse the people. Now, when they get to Moab, tragedy strikes the family and Elimelech dies. The boys marry a couple of Moabite women, but not long after that, they died too. And so Naomi is left without a husband and without her sons and only two Moabite daughters-in-law. She hears the famine is over in Bethlehem, so she decides to go back home, and she begins to take her daughters-in-law with her. And then she realizes they're still young, they could remarry, and she encourages them to go back home. Orpah decides to leave Naomi and return to her family and start a new life there. But Ruth makes this bold commitment to Naomi, where you go, I will go, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And she follows Naomi back to Bethlehem. So they arrive there not knowing quite what to expect, and people sure enough remember Naomi, but they wonder, who is this young Moabite woman? In chapter 2, we meet a man named Boaz, a man who was faithful to his people and his God, and in the midst of the famine, he didn't leave Bethlehem. He stayed, and God apparently blessed him. We're told he's a wealthy and influential man of standing in the community. So Ruth and Naomi are back in Bethlehem, but they have no source of food. So Ruth says, hey, let me go out and glean from the fields, because the Lord had made a provision for the poor and the widows and orphans that the harvesters weren't to pick up everything out of their fields. And that way, Ruth could provide some food for the two of them. And the scripture says it just so happened that Ruth ended up in the field of this man named Boaz. And so Boaz comes to check on the progress of the harvest. He meets the foreman and blesses him and says, how's the work going? And then he notices this young lady that he doesn't recognize, and he asks the foreman who that is. And the foreman says, this is Ruth, the young Moabite woman. So Boaz goes out to meet her. Ruth has no idea who Boaz is, but Boaz has heard about Ruth because he is a relative of Elimelech, and he's heard about Naomi coming back with this young Moabite woman. Now, we talked in that message about the word redeem, which is the root word from our main word in our sermon series title, Redeeming Ruth. And we learned that to redeem something is to repurchase it or to buy it back. It's to recover possession or ownership of something by the payment of a price. We talked about in our culture today, the best illustration of that would be the pawn shop. Somebody brings something in of value and they pawn it. They give it to the owner of the pawn shop as collateral for a loan. And if they don't repay the loan, it belongs to the shop owner. But if they want to get it back, they not only have to pay back the principal, but they have to pay back the interest. Now, there's another term that we were introduced to in Ruth, and that term was the kinsman redeemer. And we learned that the kinsman redeemer is a close male relative who had the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, in danger, or in need. The kinsman redeemer is the family member who delivers, rescues, and redeems property or people. And the kinsman who redeems a relative is most clearly seen in the book of Ruth. We also talked about foreshadowing in the Bible, and the kinsman redeemer is one of the most marvelous foreshadows in the Old Testament that is revealed in the New Testament of Jesus as our redeemer. So last week we learned that when Naomi learned about Boaz's kindness to Ruth, she coached Ruth on how to let Boaz know he was eligible to serve as the kinsman redeemer. So Naomi tells Ruth to go down to the threshing floor as Boaz is working with the crops and to stay hidden, but watch where he lies down to sleep. And after he's asleep, to go over and uncover his feet and to lay down next to his feet. And when Boaz woke up and he saw Ruth, he was so amazed at the dedication to her family. Ruth was letting him know she was interested in him being the family redeemer. But Boaz told her, "I will redeem you, but there's a family member that is closer to you than me, and so let me work on this." And so Ruth went home and shared the good news with Naomi, and that's where we left off last week. So this week, I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles and turn with me to Ruth chapter 4. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 223. We'll be beginning with verses 1 to 4, but we will continue reading, so please keep your Bibles open there. Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Just then, the family redeemer he had mentioned came by, so Boaz called out to him, "Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you." So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, "You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She's selling the land that belonged to our relative, Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am the next in line to redeem it after you." The man replied, "All right, I'll redeem it." So here we see the custom of validating a transaction in the presence of witnesses. So Boaz sees this other family member who is closer than he. Now this family member that is closer than Boaz is not named in the scripture. In fact, I was reading a commentary by Dr. Carolyn Donner, who said that for all practical purposes, this guy's name wasn't given, so we can call him Mr. So-and-so. And so Boaz calls together other witnesses so that they can verify this transaction. And he lays out the scenario: Naomi's come back and you're the closest, you can redeem it, but he doesn't quite tell the whole story. Let's pick it up in verse 5. The man replied, "All right, I'll redeem it." Then Boaz told him, "Of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family." "Then I can't redeem it," the family redeemer replied, "because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land, I cannot do it." Now in those days it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal as he said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon, and with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today." Then the elders and all the people standing in the gate replied, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar in Judah." So here we see this Israelite custom of transaction through the handing off of a sandal. And all the people are witnesses to this. So Boaz has legally claimed his right as kinsman redeemer to purchase the land and acquire Ruth. Let's pick it up in verse 13. "So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, 'Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons.' So Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, 'Now at last, Naomi has a son again,' and they named him Obed." So here we see the story coming to an amazing conclusion. There's a wedding between Boaz and Ruth. There's a child born to that marriage, and it restores life to Naomi, and we see Ruth as being redeemed. It brings joy to the whole community, but especially to the heart of Naomi, which had been broken by so much tragedy. Let's pick it up in the last half of verse 17. "And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. This is the genealogical record of their ancestor Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David." And nobody needed any explanation for who David was. So do you see what this means? This means that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. What a beautiful ending to this story, that Ruth had been redeemed from being a young Moabite woman who was far away from God, being adopted into the family of God, and redeemed by becoming part of the lineage of not only King David, but ultimately of Jesus. Ruth, an amazing woman of faith. I'd like to put an exclamation mark on this account of Ruth by sharing this in a way perhaps you've never heard before.
A Bible book with my wife's name in it. There was something written. She could have been known as a Moabite boy's lady, but she switched religions. And the place we met, I can never forget. A stretch of land salmon my dad had stored up for his son. And though I know I'm a much older man, still that don't offend her. She was once married way before then, and she's still so tender. I met after her guy was dead, when she said that she'd follow and stand by his mother forever. And I'm gonna keep on loving Ruth, 'cause she's Naomi's single daughter too. I don't wanna read I just want to keep on loving Ruth. I said, that's the girl I'll wed. When she said, man, I'd love you to stand as my kinsman redeemer. And I'm gonna keep on loving Blue, 'cause it's a Boaz thing, it's what I do. I know talk is cheap, I just want to keep on loving Ruth. Baby, I'm gonna keep on loving Ruth, 'cause little old Debbie's his father too. I know talk is cheap, I just want to keep on loving Ruth.
Now, this is not quite the end of the story. In Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter of the New Testament, Matthew actually includes the name of Ruth in a wonderful listing of the genealogy of Jesus. I'd like you to see this for yourself. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1, and I'd like you to see how Matthew introduces Jesus through his genealogy. Now, there's something that's done here that is so out of the realm of the ordinary for writings of this time, for the family lineage was always traced through the father. But in the genealogy of Jesus, there are actually four women mentioned here, and I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 1, this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was who? Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Wow! Did you catch it there? Four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. This is one of the things about the New Testament that gives so much credibility, because truth be told, not only would women not be mentioned, but each of these stories has some issues in it. And if the gospel writers were fabricating this, they would never include this level of detail. There were issues that Tamar probably wished weren't in Scripture. You might remember that Rahab, she was a Canaanite woman who was a prostitute in the city of Jericho who hid the spies that came in to check out the city. She was actually the mother of Boaz. And then in the next generation with Boaz, Boaz married this Moabite woman who really shouldn't have been in Israel. But because she was redeemed, God brought her here. And then the fourth woman was Bathsheba. And that story of David and Bathsheba will be better told on another day. But this is amazing that the New Testament would record the women, and especially women that might have proverbial skeletons in their closet. Well, what can we learn from this beautiful love story in the book of Ruth? I think there's several lessons. The first is, bad things happen and loss is hard. Naomi lost a lot. Ruth lost a lot. And it's hard. Life is hard. But the other thing we can learn is trust in God anyway. Be faithful anyway. Keep on trusting in God. Another thing is to work hard, do your part, and let God take care of the rest. You might remember in our last sermon series, I shared with you a quote from Martin Luther in the 1500s, and he said, "Pray as hard as if everything depends on God, and work as hard as if everything depends on you." So primarily, the first thing to do is to pray to God and ask Him to take care of it, but then don't just sit on your laurels waiting for it to happen. You can be part of making it happen when we act in faith. And finally, we have a kinsman redeemer in Jesus who can save us and will save us. It's my hope that in this series you've been encouraged by Ruth's loyalty to her family. You've been motivated by Ruth's work ethic, and you've been inspired by Ruth's faithfulness in following God. In fact, you might be familiar with the description of the Proverbs 31 woman. In Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 12, look what the writer says. "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." And at the end of the chapter, in verses 28 to 31, it says, "Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise." Well, my challenge for you today as we wrap up this series is I challenge you to pray along with me that the Lord will raise up more women today in the likeness of Ruth. You know, as I look around in our church family today, I see many of our women are more at the life stage of Naomi than they are of Ruth. And if God is going to raise up other younger women like Ruth, you need to be a Naomi to them. You need to encourage them and give them an example of an abiding faith in God so that they will be challenged to be women of courage, women of strength, and women of faith who have been redeemed by Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, thank you for this beautiful story of love and redemption found in the Old Testament. We thank you for the faithfulness of young Ruth, and we thank you for the way we see you working in her life to not only bring her back into the family of God, but also to make her a part of the lineage of the Messiah. Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we strive to raise up more young women who have the spirit of Ruth, as we follow our redeeming King, Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
I lift my hands in holy devotion to you. My life is my sacrifice. You are the Lord, my Redeemer.